Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, welcome into The Point After here on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. New Orleans falls to Green Bay 37-30. Now fall to 1-2, and we're seeing some disturbing, alarming trends. The penalties, big plays in the secondary, a lot of pass interference calls on the Saints. A couple of them were debatable, but nonetheless, Saints have an offense that looks out of rhythm at times. Bobby, how could... Oh, all right, yeah. Let's get to this. Bobby's rant. Bobby, given by what I just talked about, how concerned are you, about this three-game stretch the Saints are on and they're 1-2?
Well, I don't know. You scored 30 points. You should be able to win the game. But I'm going to break that down, as I continue to speak. But, well, you know how long it's been till the Cheeseheads or the Packer Nation when the last time they won in the Big Easy? You got to go back to a quarter of a century. 25 years ago was the last time that they won in New Orleans in 1995. So when you think about that, now you look at the cycle and how they play home and away and all that. But the one thing that I know, the Packers have overall had our number 9 out of 17 times the all-time record against Green Bay. They've had our number. Green Bay has had our number. The Saints have won 4 of the 6 games against the Packers since Sean Payton became head coach in 06. Now they've won 4 of 7. And then I said this in the pregame that you're going to have to score against Green Bay. Just how the games have unfolded, the winning team has scored 34-plus points in 7 of the last 9 matchups going into the game. So I'd say, well, the Saints need to score at least 34 or more points to win. Well, now it's 8 out of 10 games that the winning team has scored 34-plus points as the Packers came out on top 37-30. Now, I talked to you about Alvin Kamara. I think this is what you're asking for him to do, whether he's rushing the football or as a pass-receiving running back. He has 197 total yards. So that goes back to Reggie Bush. That goes back to Darren Sproles. Alvin Kamara, I always put it at 150, if you're having some kind of balance, because it could be like a short pass to Kamara is like a long handoff or whatever. So he had 197 total yards. So I would say against the Raiders and the Packers, Alvin Kamara has done his job. Now you have to look at the complete team. But this is a bunch of BS when you think about. We had 122 yards rushing on 20 carries. You're averaging 6 yards a carry like we did against the Raiders. But we only had 12 yards in the second half rushing, and you ended up with with 122.
On 6 attempts in the second half.
So you got to attempt, Christian. We ended up with 20 attempts. So 6 attempts in the second half. There's no way if we're running the ball 4.5, 5 yards a carry, we should not have 28 to 32 rushing attempts instead of 20 rushing attempts. I mean, it's just the way it is. I'm looking at the Packers. They only averaged 3.8 yards a rushing attempt, but they still ran the ball six times more than us at 26. So, listen, whether you look at Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, it's a push. You look at kind of the quarterback rating, even though Aaron Rodgers hits the bigger plays down the field as far as how the football travels. But Drew Brees had 288 yards throwing. The yards after the catch, it all counts. 288. Aaron Rodgers had 283. So that's basically the same. But the one thing we cannot do is the penalties. Now, I always say we were right on the cusp. We had eight penalties. You don't want 900 yards. But we had eight for 83. So that's telling me, considering how we were so far in the lead, after three games, we're still leading the NFL in penalty yardage. Which you don't want to do. Now, were the officials, were they from Wisconsin? What were they thinking? They had one horrendous spot. I mean, how in the hell? Wasn't even close. You know, I could see it was a foot. It was more than a yard, or at least a yard. They wanted to give it to him. Sean Payton challenged it, but I don't know. They had two penalties for 10 yards. We had eight for 83. Are they more disciplined than us? I mean.
Looks like it.
If you look at the three games, and we're leading the NFL, the penalties, we shot ourselves in the foot. We got a little better. We went over 50%, but this is still not good. It was a wash. We both were 5-11, 45% on third down. We had right at 400 yards. They had 370 yards. So all of that is really a push when you look at it. But you know what? In a close game like this, we were minus one in the turnover margin. You know why that's significant, Christian? I was telling you this at the end. You know how we set an NFL record last year? We only had eight giveaways. Guess who was second in the NFL?
Green Bay.
With 13. With only 13 giveaways. So if we thought the Packers were just going to give up the ball, they don't do that. They're very disciplined. So they were number two in the NFL last year. So that didn't surprise me that they wouldn't get turned over. We ended up being minus one. Now we plus two for the season. But the bottom line is that I don't know what's going to happen going forward. I think the schedule is favorable. Now, with that being said, I would have thought right now, you look at Tampa Bay, at Las Vegas, and Green Bay, that we could possibly be 1-2, but then 2-1, because I think Tampa Bay, you see them getting better. I was discouraged how we lost to the Raiders, but I was not necessarily disappointed, even though we were favored by 3 points to lose to Green Bay. Now, it would be horrendous, considering it's Super Bowl or bust, if next Sunday at 12 noon, you're playing at Detroit, then you got Monday night, the Chargers here in the Superdome, then you have a bye week, then you got October 25th, Carolina at home, then you got the Bears here. How can the Bears be undefeated? The Bears are sorry. The Bears aren't very good. Now, Tampa Bay, November 8th, I think they're going to be better. So, Christian, I'm still looking at the glass half full, and I think right now, even though we wanted to, I'm going to be extremely disappointed if we're not 5-2 going into the Tampa Bay game on November the 8th.
That's it for Bobby's rant and the Saints Nation rant on Facebook, brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller time. Stick around for more of The Point After on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. Comments on Facebook are rolling in. Welcome back to The Point After here on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. Nick Archilla says, Drew is looking 121 years old. I think that's the lazy way to look at this loss. Bobby?
121, what does he mean? I mean, basically him and Aaron Rodgers threw for the same amount of yards. Now, Aaron Rodgers had two plays down the field, like upfield throws, but you look at their quarterback rating, it was basically the same. They both protected the football. Aaron Rodgers had three touchdowns. Drew had three. So, I don't know, 288 yards to 283. So, Drew does not look what did he say? It looked like 100 years old?
141 years old, he said.
Come on. That's not realistic. That's not a true statement.
No, it's not.
That is
it's a low-hanging fruit, easy, lazy argument to go.
That is not, listen, I think we'd have been in control of the game, but you might say it's not hinged on one play, but all of a sudden we got the momentum. We stopped them on fourth down. We got the ball on their 40-yard line, and Taysom Hill fumbles. So kind of the momentum that changed. I even look with 7 minutes left in the game. We only losing by 3 points. We go three and out. We have zero runs, and we're averaging 6 yards a run. So is that play calling? Do you think maybe Sean can maybe change the momentum and give Pete Carmichael a chance to call plays? Because he's done that in the past. Or does Sean just want to be the guy every game? Because Sean Payton can call plays at a high level. He's done that in the past, and so can Pete Carmichael. But that's why when I look at what occurs, when you don't win, everything's magnified. And when I look, we had only 12 yards rushing in the second half and only 6 attempts, considering we ended up with 122 yards, 6-yard average. I don't know. How did the 49ers kick the Packers behind in the playoffs?
Ran on them.
They ran on them. How did the Patriots kick the Raiders behind in this earlier game that was on the CBS station right here in New Orleans? They ran on them. Ain't nothing to do with, the quarterback's doing this or that. It's still being disciplined with the run and concentrating on that, considering when you're trying to control the tempo of a game and attack an opponent.
Libby Lassar Mullins on Twitter. First, we'll get to that one, on Facebook. But John Hebert says, Lattimore taking plays off again. Do you think Marshawn Lattimore's taking plays off?
Well, is he getting disinterested or kind of lackadaisical as far as his responsibility? Because Lattimore, when he's focused, he'll hit you. He's not scared. He'll be aggressive, but you still see a lax in play like we even saw in the Vikings playoff game, where his responsibility, you have him, and you have to get him. I thought, you know who brought a lot of effort tonight? Compared to the Raiders game, Malcolm Jenkins. I thought Malcolm Jenkins played with a lot of emotion, and he was bringing it and wanting to be a leader. And it showed. If you look at it, Malcolm Jenkins led the team with tackles. He had 9 total tackles, 7 unassisted. He had a quarterback hurry, a tackle for a loss. You know who's not showing up? Come on, our all-pro. Where in the hell's Cam Jordan? Come on, Cam. Cam Jordan, all pro, not just pro bowler. Look at Cam. What he had, 4 tackles, 1 unassisted. Is Cam making an impact? You know who's making more than an impact? Christian. It's Trey Hendrickson.
Leads the team in sacks.
Trey Henderson had a quarterback hurry, quarterback pressure. Cam Jordan had 0. Demario Davis had 1. Malcolm Jenkins had 1. And Demario Davis ended up having a sack. Jenkins had a tackle for loss. Demario Davis and Janoris Jenkins had a tackle for loss. Cam Jordan is like on the stat line, is not getting it done like an all-pro. What did we say before the game? Our great players have to play great, not just good. We need Cam Jordan to be dominant on defense. I can tell you right now, Drew Brees. Drew Brees is too old, this and that. I am so disappointed in our defense compared to what I witnessed in training camp and the swagger and all they had. Now, it might pick up when you play in Detroit. It might pick up when you're playing the likes of Carolina, Chicago, and all that. We have to wait and see what's going to occur. But, Christian, I'm extremely disappointed in our defense right now. And a lot of it has to do when you have sustained drives, not getting off the field on third down, and a crucial penalty is going to get you.
Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, this is the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. Back here on the Point After, Saints lose 37-30 at home to the Green Bay Packers. Welcome into the Point After. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick. You can call us on our mortgage financial talk and text lines at 504-260-1870. Kyle in Metairie, you're on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Hey, Kyle. How y'all doing?
Hey, good, Kyle.
Thanks. So I don't think that the Saints' biggest problem is Drew Brees. I don't even think that the Saints' biggest problem is the number of penalties that they have, although that doesn't help. I think the Saints' biggest problem at this point is Sean Payton's play calling. I mean, it cost us that Vikings game, even when Latavius Murray and Taysom Hill were running the ball pretty well. It cost us a playoff game. It cost us the game against the Raiders last week. And you've already touched on it. I mean, we had 104 rushing yards in the first half and only 18 in the second half.
Yeah.
I mean, if Andrus Peat went out, you can't tell me that Cesar Ruiz, Eric McCoy, and Nick Easton aren't capable of getting you at least 3 or 4 yards a carry. I mean, he needs to give the play calling duties back to Peat Carmichael Jr. or whatever, because this is killing us.
Well, yeah, because he's done that in the past. You know, you could be like, okay, I'm just going to be a head coach and I'm going to give the coordinating the play calling duties to another person, because that's happening on both sides of the ball. Like Dan Quinn, even Atlanta, be like, okay, I'm going to be the head coach and I'm going to be the coordinator, and you go back to being the coordinator. So, yeah, just a different perspective what you need. And Kyle's making a great point, because there was a time in the game, Christian, we were only losing by 3 points. I got to get this in my notes right here. We were only losing by 3 points. I want to say there was 7 minutes in the fourth quarter, and we go 3 and out, Kyle, and we had 0 runs. What? I mean, 3 and out, and we have 0 runs. That's right there. I mean, it's like, listen, it seems like that we don't have enough patience. Sometimes Sean Payton, even when we run, okay, that was a nice run. Now we got a pass. Okay, we ran, and then at the beginning, he could be conscious of running the ball like we did in the first half, because he's setting up the game plan, and he knows the Packers could be exploited in the run game against them. And then all of a sudden, he says, okay, enough of that. We got to pass the ball a few times. Because realistically, when you look at it, how the game was unfolding, I mean, Drew Brees had 36 passing attempts. So why not have 30 passing attempts and, like, let's say 26 rushing attempts, or even trying to be 50-50 as much as you can? To me, that is frustrating, because, Kyle, you probably watch TV today. You watch the games. And all I know is I know what the Patriots were doing to the Raiders. And they're like, you got to be patient. And Belichick and the Raiders, they just hammered them by running the football. It doesn't matter what Cam Newton can do, even in the passing game. They ran the football. And I think at times, now, if you're getting 2 yards a run, 2.5 yards, now it's always 2nd and 9, whatever. I understand that. But when you're averaging 6 yards a run, you got to attempt to run the football. Latavius Murray was averaging 5 yards a run. Alvin Kamara was at 9.7, which is really 10 yards a run. So all I know is Murray. I'm just glad he got the double digits. So, Kyle, maybe Sean Payton's taking a step in the right direction, because in some games in the past, he might have had only 4 or 6 carries. Well, he had 12 for 58 yards at 4.8 average. It's really is 5 yards a carry. I agree with you 100% that it doesn't matter how you win. You got to win the game and attack an opponent's weakness. And you know why it's also good to run the ball? Why is it good to run the ball and have time of possession, sustained drives? Because when all was said and done, they had the ball, Christian, basically a little over 3 minutes more than we did.
3:20.
Okay, but you know why we could have flipped that script? What you got to do?
Run the ball.
Run the ball. And then you know what happens? Then Aaron Rodgers don't have as many opportunities. You keep Aaron Rodgers behind on the bench, and you having these long, sustained drives. Now, you can't turn it over. You know, that Taysom Hill turnover. But the way it was going, no one protected the football better than the Saints and the Packers last year. So what came in this game, that was magnified, that damn Taysom Hill fumble. It's like, oh, wow. That the way the game was unfolding, how it was kind of going back and forth, that was almost like three fumbles or three turnovers, considering we're on their 40-yard line, how the momentum swing. But again, keep Aaron Rodgers on the sideline. We control the tempo if you have more rushing attempts. So I think Kyle's right on.
He's Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. Fire away on our Mortgage Financial talk and text lines at 504-260-1870. The Saints fall 37-30 to the Green Bay Packers. They're now 1-2. This is the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. Bobby, Green Bay punted just one time. Once. One punt.
So if they put it only one time, that means we did not get off the field, right? Is that, I guess?
Well, I mean, 5 of 11 on third down. And not just third downs, Bobby, but the Saints have a propensity so far, at least in the last two games, not only are they giving up this isn't like third and twos. This is third and nine, third and 15, Aaron Rodgers scrambling for a first down. I mean, they're giving up big plays on third and long.
Well, I wrote in my notes, I remember one time going into the third, around the third quarter, the last four drives, the Packers were getting points. You know, you talk about they're not punting, so that's always discouraging. But Christian, you have to give it to Alvin Kamara. Four or five tackles that he broke. That 52-yard touchdown to tie the game, that's one of the greatest plays in Saints history. When you talk about an individual effort and you look at McCoy running down the field and getting that block and just the effort overall for Alvin Kamara, that was the top 10 type play, and getting what you describe as, yards after the catch, so to speak. And that's what a quarterback always loves that. But you had talked to Deuce about this, and I still don't know. This would be on the coach's show. And I think Sean Payton even commented with the media, that's a good question, and we're going to have to figure that out. This play-action boot, when you're doing it and hitting a receiver in the flat, but that receiver in the flat is coming from the opposite side. It's not all of a sudden front side. They're leaking out, and we're losing that receiver. Christian, as an old man, I can make that throw because they're that wide open. And they have to address that because you know why? It's a copycat lead. You're going to see Matthew Stafford and the Lions running that same type play. Whoever.
It's maddening.
You're going to see the Chargers run that Monday night, October the 12th, the next time they have a game in the Superdome. You have to understand the responsibility, but that to me...
Here's what Peyton said those plays. Let's hear it.
That's a good question. They shouldn't be that difficult, but we made them look hard, didn't we?
Yeah, they made it look hard.
That's a good question. We made it look difficult. What else he had said, another thing, is that it
shouldn't be that hard.
Shouldn't be that hard. Oh, yeah. Oh.
Well, he's telling you that's kind of like base stuff, right? That's like, Bobby, that's simple stuff.
That is knowing your responsibility and not getting fooled. Where are your eyes at in the play action? And what are you honoring? You know, are you trying to cheat and not necessarily do your job first? Because all of a sudden, if you're trying to cheat and you get fooled, then you get lost, like, who has him? And then it's too late. You know, the NFL quarterbacks, they'll burn you. And that simple pass is so high percentage, it's like a toss sweep. That will continuously to be run against the Saints until they can stop that. Because you cannot be, because it's a simple throw, and you're getting yak, and you end up getting 12, 15 yards before the defense can even come up and make a play.
That was frustrating to watch that particular play sequence in general because they just had no answer for it. Jesuit, Nabby Billy, you're on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Well, yeah, I just spoke about the issue I was going to bring up and the fact that all night long those little flat passes were wide open. So since you addressed that, why don't you give me your opinion on the secondary? I know you hear locally and nationally how talented the group is. You spoke briefly
about
They're not playing very well. You spoke briefly about Lattimore maybe taking plays off and whatnot, but they just seem to get burned so often, and the PI penalties are just killing the Saints. It's really bad. So I'll hang up and listen. Y'all have a good night. It's been a bad weekend, man, with the Tigers and the Saints.
Right, and that's why the Saints secondary and LSU secondary, you know, I said this, the LSU secondary last night, they're like, DBU, even have a T-shirt. There's no way I'm going to wear that DBU T-shirt. It's like DB poo. I mean, like poo-poo. It's like, what did that? I mean, between LSU secondary and the Saints secondary, it leaves a lot to be desired, to speak.
You got a guy in Marshawn Lattimore who's trying to get paid. Marcus Williams really can't tackle. Malcolm Jenkins played well tonight. Janoris Jenkins had two PI calls, I think, on him.
Yep.
So, and look, the Saints lead the league in that category. Defensive pass interference, they lead the league in that category through 3 weeks of the season.
So it's almost all of a sudden we see him in practice, oh, they made a play, but there's no official there. So maybe if there was an official there, they might have called a penalty. So Sean Payton might say, you know what? We got to have damn officials at every damn practice to judge, to humble you DBs and tell you, no, that's a penalty. You might think you had good coverage, but they're going to call that against you in a game, and you cannot do that. Because Chris, I don't know what else to say about that, because I witnessed them in practice, and they're like, whoa, it looks like they got a nice pass defending, and, you know, there's no officials out there, and you can't see if they grasped their arm or what happened, so you think it's a great play. Now what was the one play, though, that Marcus Williams, did he get fooled when he was a little flat and maybe not over the top? It was, I have to look at my notes, but it was one play that I thought Marcus Williams completely got out of position and got exploited. But then you had Lattimore at least two or three times where it was just not as focused as I think he needs to be.
Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification here on the Community Coffee New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
You know, it was like Marcus, I wrote it down.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. It's the point after here on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. 37-30, Saints lose to the Green Bay Packers, falling to 1-2. Welcome into the point after here on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. Bobby, a late injury to David Onyemata in the week, a calf injury, caused him to sit out this game. How much did the Saints miss Big O?
I think they missed him a lot, especially in the interior. I think David Onyemata is better against the run than Sheldon Rankins. Look, I think Sheldon Rankins could play, but Christian, there was it a goal line stance? It was like fourth and goal. And Sheldon Rankins ended up on his knees. And then it was fourth and one. And and they ended up getting a touchdown. Now it's Packers 20 to Saints 17. But I just look at – I think Cam came down, ended up making the tackle. But if Sheldon Rankins would have held his own, there would be nowhere to go. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But he got washed down. He was on his knees. And then Cam came in there and, like, stopped him. But, I mean, they're right there on the goal line. So, listen, I hope Sheldon Rankins, because I think he's a part of the rotation. But they definitely missed David Onyemata tonight not being available.
He's Bobby. I'm Christian. We'll continue here on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. Tony in Australia. On our mortgage financial talk and text line. What's going on, Tony?
Hey, I'm Bobby and Christian.
Tony. Turn off your radio, please, Tony.
Yeah, Tony, turn on your radio. I know you got to be disheartened because it's still a lot of the season left, but we kind of envision, if not a 3-0 start, at least 2-1, and now we're kind of behind the 8-ball at 1-2.
Well, for me, today was the third preseason game.
Okay.
And next week against the Lions.
Yes.
The season starts proper, and we play proper Saints football. Like AK-41, he was a star today. There's no doubt about that.
Yes.
But we play proper Saints football, and we make the playoffs once again.
Well, it's like Tony's saying, we're just waiting for October. We were just September, you know, we're still a little discouraged. We're going to have fans in the stands. We're going to go at Detroit October the 4th. There won't be no fans up there, but you are playing the Lions, and you should take care of business. And I'm expecting fans come October the 12th against the Chargers in that Monday night game. And then we host Carolina October 25th. Then November 1st at Chicago. Listen, you have to look at the schedule as a whole. And I even said this, even though I thought, you know, we're going to go 11-5 and 12-4, I realistically thought that at this point we could be not 3-0, but 2-1. And I said, worst case scenario, 1-2. I thought we'd win one of these games. Now, I thought, depending on how Tom Brady and all would come out, I don't know when they're winning that game. I was really surprised that we lost at Las Vegas. But Green Bay does not surprise me that we end up losing that. But, hey, look, I'd rather lose to him in the regular season, beat him in the playoffs. But there's no reason, Tony, you know this, the Lions are very sheepish, like the cowardly Lions. They're not very good. Come on. Now, I know they came up with a win today and beat the Cardinals, but the Lions, if you're going to be Super Bowl or bust, you're going to be losing to the likes of the Lions or the Chargers or Carolina or even the Bears where they're at right now. So, Tony, I'm even looking right now, and I think you'd be on this bandwagon, that I think come November the 8th when we go at Tampa Bay. Now, you say that's a long time from now. I'm going to be extremely damn disappointed if we're not 5-2 because I think our team is that good. What do you think, Tony?
Behind me, but for me, the last three games have been preseason games. And
well, unfortunately, Tony, they count.
Yeah, they count right now, though.
I know it's the fair dinkum thing, but we will start playing fair dinkum Saints football next week. Don't you worry about that.
Okay, Tony
said.
Better
against that team.
Hey, Tony said bank it. Instead of, you know, we didn't have a preseason, instead of starting early September, it's going to be early October that we're ready to roll. Okay, Tony, we're going to remember that statement because we're going to hold you accountable to that.
Tony, thanks for the phone call. This is The Point After on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. Back here on The Point After on the Community Coffee New Orleans Saints Radio Network, Saints fall 37-30 to the Green Bay Packers. Saints quarterback Drew Brees speaking with the media via Zoom following the loss.
Through the offense, I think you scored on four straight possessions when the defense came up with a big stop. You feel for Taysom, the fumble seemed to kind of change the rhythm for the rest of the game there.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, that was a huge stop by the defense. You know, we got the ball at midfield. You know, I think we all felt really good that we were going to go down and get points, you know, hopefully a touchdown and kind of seize control of that game. So, you know, it's unfortunate that it happened at that time. But, man, Taysom is such a conscientious guy, and he's such a great football player, and he does so much for us that, you know, it's at times that's part of the game, you know, and you got to rally, you got to bounce back.
Next question is from Jeff Duncan.
Hey, Drew, why have you all struggled to get the ball down the field? Are defenses just defending you all a certain way and you're taking what they're giving you, basically?
Yeah, you know, we called a couple shot plays today, and unfortunately we just got, again, bad looks. I think I got sacked on one. And then actually, ironically, the second one was the one where I threw it to Alvin Kamara, and he went 52 yards for a touchdown. So I don't care how far I have to throw the ball down the field. My job is to make good decisions. I'm not going to force it. If it's not there, check it down, put it in the hands of our playmakers, and let them do what they do.
Next question is from Luke Johnson.
And Drew, kind of in that same vein, has the coverages you've seen been different since Mike has been out? It seems been covered differently than you have seen previously?
For the most part today, everybody, they just played us real soft. You know, they played us real soft. So we ran the ball well. You know, we checked it down underneath well. I thought we were really efficient and ran the ball well, too. If we're being sticklers about ourselves, you know, the difference was, I think, in the red zone, we had four red zone possessions and had two touchdowns, two field goals. So in a game like this against a really good opponent and a really good offense on the other side of the ball, you just have to take advantage of those opportunities and try to get touchdowns as opposed to field goals.
Next question is from Mike Triplett.
Do you recall a game where you could just put the ball in a player's hands like Alvin and good things were happening repeatedly like that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's a special football player. You know, he rattled off that big run early on, and then obviously the check down that, you know, turned into a 52-yard touchdown. It's nice when, you know, you've got a weapon like that, that you just get the ball in his hands in space, and he's tough to tackle, and it's kind of a human highlight reel.
And then with Emmanuel Sanders, I know you talked about trying to get in a rhythm, new player. Did that start something really good at the end of the second quarter? And
yeah.
Do you think you guys
I still think we can do a better job of getting the ball in his hands. And that goes for some other guys too, you know. Obviously, you've got these guys that can do a lot of things, you know. And throughout the course of the week, you know, you're always – kind of waiting to see how defense is going to play you. You know, so you have a lot of volume in the plan. And then it's really not until you get to the game that you know, what's going to work and really what you're going to hang your hat on. But there's no doubt that, you know, you have a guy like Emmanuel Sanders, man, you want to get the ball in his hands. Traquan Smith, Jared Cook, Alvin Kamara, and so many others, you know. You know, there's only so many balls to go around. But at the same time, I think just, you know, our ability to be super efficient, my ability as a quarterback, you know, to make sure that the open guys are getting the balls, you know, and on time and in rhythm, and you know, that's really what executing the offense is all about.
Next question is from Luke Johnson.
Drew, just as a veteran leader on the team, how do you guys balance being confident that you guys can find whatever you're missing so far with also kind of having a sense of urgency of getting things back on track?
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunately, you know, we've had two games in a row now where, you know, these haven't been our best performances. I think both sides of the ball, there's plenty of things that we know we need to work on. You know, the penalties is still a black eye. It was last week. It was again this week. Obviously taking care of the football, you know. I think we pride ourselves on being a team that really takes good care of the football and takes it away. And then just taking advantage of opportunities. You know, some of those red zone opportunities, some of those opportunities to sustain drives, you know, keep drives going. Man, that's complimentary football. You know, I think special teams has been solid. But, man, all those things work together, and that's what helps you get victories.
Next question is from Jeff Duncan.
Drew, are you surprised that you all have been kind of starting a little slow here? The fact that you all have so many players back from a year ago, your coaching staff's intact. I thought this might be an advantage for you all, this weird off season, because you all have so much continuity, yet it seems like both sides of the ball a little out of sorts.
Well, I think, listen, if you're a veteran player in this league, you know that you're not guaranteed anything from year to year. You know, you got to come out, you got to earn it, you know, each and every time out. And I think, obviously, based on the last two losses in consecutive weeks, I think, you know, we have to take a hard look at you know, what we're doing, how we're doing it, and we need to be doing it better, you know, bottom line. And, you know, be as efficient as we possibly can, create a great sense of urgency. Listen, I love our team. I love the way we work. I love the way we prepare. But there's obviously some things that need to be corrected so that we can get back on the winning track.
That was Saints quarterback Drew Brees following a 37-30 loss to the Green Bay Packers. They've lost two in a row now, sitting at 1-2 on the season. And Sean Payton said after the game that they're not doing enough of the little things consistently. I want to pick Bobby's brain on that when we return here on The Point After on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. Bobby, Sean Payton summarized the loss 37-30 to the Packers. And I'm summarizing him. I'm paraphrasing him, I should say. Basically, he said we're not doing enough of the little things consistently enough, the details. What does he mean by that? What do you think he means by that?
Well, what I think he means about that is like the little details, not leading the NFL in penalties, penalty yardage. Come on. The parity of the game is too close to do that. Not getting off the field on third down. Not getting off the field on third down. Okay, if it's like third, if you really a legit defense, if it's third and seven or more, I don't want to say six because then it's kind of borderline. Third and seven or more, if you're truly a legit defense, the offense should never get it.
20%, 15%?
Yeah. Never is too hard of a word. But you know the point I'm making.
Yeah, it should be in that 15 to 20%
hour. The odds are so much in your favor that you're going to get it done, okay? Well, right now, I'd say the penalties, we're shooting ourselves in the foot. We're not getting off the field on third down. If you look at it right now, the turnover margin, we didn't win this game. And we started off leading the NFL at plus +3. Now we're only plus +2. It was a wash against Oakland. We didn't win that. Can you be opportunistic as far as protecting the ball and taking it away? Right now it's kind of a mixed bag with that. And I think offensively that we have to – I don't care who's the quarterback, Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston, Drew Brees – that if we're running the ball, and however you're going to figure this out, if we're running the ball at 6 yards a clip, there's no reason why you shouldn't have at least 30 rushing attempts. You should say, Sean will say, well, you know, we didn't have enough plays, against the Raiders. We didn't have enough plays, maybe not against the Packers, but okay. If you look at Green Bay, they had 59 plays, and we had 58. I'm telling you, the goal is always 65 offensive snaps. Okay, but if the Packers only had 59 snaps, why did they run 26 and we only ran 20? The point being, we averaged 6.1 yards an attempt. And they average under 4 yards, basically 3.5. And they had 6 more rushing attempts. I think at times, and it happened in the first half. Well, why didn't we do that in the second half? It's not like we're trying to play catch up.
Yeah.
And then you look at the Raiders game. We got off to a fast start. We're winning the game. Why don't you set the tone with the running game, and then you pick and choose when you're going to pass? I don't care if it's Drew Brees, Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston, whoever's at quarterback. And not, we don't have to set all these records. We already set all the damn records going on a dozen plus years.
Bobby, you know what I think, if I'm answering that very question about details and what does Sean Payton mean about not doing the little things well enough? I think some of that has to do with Tuesday's a quote-unquote day off. But yeah, you know, yeah. It's not. You know it's not.
Well, a regular week, Tuesday's day off, but
it's one of those deals where they're in there watching the good teams, the elite teams are in there watching film, extra film.
Not necessarily the whole team, but individual players.
Right. Okay. Fine. Yeah. Fair enough. So I guess my point is that has that team gotten there yet? We don't know. But when I hear details and little things, that's what I start to think of, because look, I've covered this team for 12 years now, and every team that's been good, they've all said, hey, Tuesday's a day where, you know, we're putting in the extra work watching film. Not necessarily, as you mentioned, the whole team, but individuals, leaders on the team in particular.
Right.
Your defensive captains, your offensive captains, it's special teams captains, et cetera. I just wonder if that's what he means. Look, it's frustrating because of the talent on this team. It makes you wonder, was the talent overhyped? Or is it a matter of details?
Well, you start believing in your press clippings, and you don't realize what got you to the level and the hype of being a great player, that you have to play hell-bent for leather. And ain't no on cruise control, because you're not going to be that same player. Put it to you this way. If we play like we played against the Packers, against the Raiders, Christian, we win that game. Okay, how we were more focused. But the Packers are better than the Raiders. So it just goes to show you it varies week in and week out. Now, are we going to play down to the competition? Or are we going to dominate the Lions? You know?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to Detroit. We're supposed to be Super Bowl or bust or playoff favorite in the NFC. Listen, all this preseason stuff, it's a bunch of crap. It gives us something to talk about. But when you look at the roster, that's why as individual players, you got to stay hungry. I don't know if you can have that imaginative chip on your shoulder. It's me against the world, whatever. You have to do that. You can't be like, man, I'm good. Man, because if you think you're just going to show up, you're going to get humbled. And you get humbled fast. I think the Packers are going to be that good. And it didn't surprise me what happened tonight. But what happened against the Raiders, that's totally unacceptable.
He's Bobby. I'm Christian. This is The Point After on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network.
Once again, late game lapses in the secondary did end the Saints after a strong showing in the early going. You can't blame Alvin Kamara, though. AK averaged nearly 10 yards a carry on the ground with 58 yards on 6 carries, but he did major damage through the air.
Breeze under center, fakes the pitch, sets up, looking downfield, checks it down to Kamara at the 45, who steps through the tackle. He gets to midfield, breaks another. The 40 has a man in front of him. 30, 25, high hurdles a defender. 15, cuts back, 10. Five, touchdown, Alvin Kamara. You want to talk about a signature play? Good Lord, Alvin Kamara, how many tackles, Deuce? 6?
You got to go to the score. I mean, you can't do this in high school.
13 catches, 139 yards, and 2 touchdowns receiving. A total of 197 yards from scrimmage for Kamara tonight. As for Drew Brees, he was 29 for 36 for 288 yards and 3 touchdown tosses. But in the end, one crucial fumble by Taysom Hill and 8 penalties for 83 yards would do the Saints in. They fall 37-30 to the visiting Packers to drop to 1-2 on the season. Green Bay improves to 3-0. Is Tom Brady rounding into form? His stat line for the day, 25 for 38, 297 yards, 3 touchdowns against 0 picks as he leads the Buccaneers to a dominant win in Denver, 28-10. Tampa improves to 2-1 while the Broncos drop to 0-3. Teddy Bridgewater outduels rookie Justin Herbert as Carolina hands Matt Rhule his first win as an NFL head coach in their first game with Christian McCaffrey sidelined. 21-16 the final as both the Panthers and the Bolts now sit at 1-2. Last week, the Falcons made headlines for all the wrong reasons after letting a 15-point fourth-quarter lead slip through their fingers and allowing the Cowboys to rally to victory. This week, Atlanta held a 16-point lead over the Bears in the fourth. And
here's the snap. Good rush. They throw as he's hit into the end zone. Touchdown! Middle of the end zone. A beautiful throw ball to Anthony Miller. And the Bears have the lead in Atlanta. Terrific comeback in the fourth.
WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM Chicago with the call. The Bears benched Mitchell Trubisky in the game. Nick Foles led the fourth quarter comeback, and an interception of Matt Ryan on the Falcons' final possession sealed the comeback win 30-26. The Chicago Bears move to 3-0. At 0-3, Atlanta continues to search for answers, and Coach Dan Quinn's seat has to be set to broil at this point. The Cardinals came into the day unbeaten, but they get humbled by the Lions in the desert, 26-23. For the Lions, the win snaps an 11-game losing streak dating back to last season. As they improve to 1-2, they host the Saints next Sunday. Arizona falls to 2-1. It's been a historic start to the season for Russell Wilson in Seattle, and Seahawks signal caller threw 5 more touchdown passes today. They needed every one of them as Seattle slips past the Cowboys by 7, 38-31 to stay perfect at 3-0. Dallas falls below 500 at 1-2. A plethora of injuries and a costly victory for the Niners last week. That meant, among other things, Nick Mullins under center as they made the return trip to the Big Apple. Mullins was up to the challenge. 343 yards and a touchdown pass to help lead San Fran to a 36-9 blowout win over the Giants. The 49ers are 2-1. The G-men slipped to 0-3. The Bills nearly did their own Falcons impression this afternoon, letting a 28-3 lead slip against the Rams. The Rams scored 29 straight to move in front 32-28 with 4:30 to play. But The Bills found their footing in the closing minutes with Josh Allen scoring his fifth touchdown of the day.
Josh waiting. Now the snap. Josh going to throw it. Looks, fires into the end zone. He's got Tyler Kroft open. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! Touchdown, Bills! A four-yard toss. Josh Allen to Tyler Kroft for the touchdown. 15 seconds left on the clock. Unbelievable.
Are you kidding me?
WGR Sports Radio 550 Buffalo with the call on that one. The Bills survive 35-32 to climb to 3-0. The Rams fall to 2-1. Joe Burrow is still looking for his first NFL win, but he didn't lose today either as his Bengals play the Eagles to a tie in Philadelphia, 23-all. Both teams now sit at 0-2-1. Don't look now, but the Browns are a winning football team. Baker Mayfield and Nick Chubb each find the end zone twice, and Cleveland scores 17 unanswered in the fourth quarter to stun Washington 34-20. Now at 2-1, it's the first time the Browns can claim a winning record in 6 years. The team that shall not be named falls to 1-2. He may have had a rough season opener, but Titans kicker Steven Gostkowski earned his money today. Gostkowski was 6-for-6 on field goals, including 3 from 50-plus yards. The Titans defense also victimized the Vikings for 3 turnovers, and they escaped Minneapolis with a 31-30 win to stay perfect at 3-0. Minnesota still looking for their first win. They're 0-3. A 3-touchdown day for Rex Burkhead helps the Patriots to a 36-20 win over the Raiders. New England right on Buffalo's heels at 2-1. Las Vegas picks up its first loss as an NFL city. They also sit at 2-1. Two teams moving in opposite directions stay the course as the Steelers drop the Texans 28-21. Pittsburgh moves to 3-0. Houston slides to 0-3. And the Colts collect 3 turnovers and hold the Jets to just 7 points on the day, leading the way to a 36-7 rout in favor of Indianapolis. The Colts are 2-1. The Jets drop to 0-3. Tomorrow night, Monday Night Football, big AFC matchup, a battle of 2-0 teams as the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs take on Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. That's your Miller Lite NFL scoreboard. I'm Mark Menard, and we'll be right back with more of The Point After on the Community Coffee New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Straight to our mortgage financial talk and text lines, we find Chuck B. Chuck B., you're on The Point After on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network.
What's up, Christian? How you doing, man? Bobby? Man, we've been here before, bro. I must start off with saying this. I truly appreciate the years that we've had of being considered, you know, a top-tier team, you know, considered amongst the best, always in contention. The positive talk that, you know, talk shows and other sports shows talk about the team, the consistency that we've had. So, yes, we're spoiled, but at the same time, I think there's a reason why we only have one Super Bowl ring. And I think this is because of Sean Payton. And you know, Christian, you can vouch, I've called him out on more than one occasion. When I look at the talent that we've had, he's the reason why we've lost a couple of games every season. And you play to win the game, you play some situational football. Y'all gave the stats. When you run in to that degree, their nose tackle, their big run stopper is out. And on offense, they did what they did to us without Jenkins even being on the field. Their big receiver, right? So you continue running the ball. You don't have to get cute at all. There's too much talent. They're the top-tier teams in the NFC that ultimately you're going to have to go through to try to win another Super Bowl. I appreciate where we are, but I honestly just don't see it. That's not even speaking about the cornerback play. I don't know who's teaching or coaching, but it's not happening. I actually thought that when the draft came, I would have taken Tre'Davious White from LSU. That dude is balling in Buffalo at cornerback. He's consistent. He was consistent at LSU. And while Lattimore is good at times, he's like Santa Claus. I don't need him to show up like every once in a while to bring me a gift.
Right. Yeah, no, you make a great point, Chuck B. I think sometimes, as good as he can be against the great receivers, sometimes he gets disinterested with his responsibility. I think Jack Rabbit, they both can tackle. One thing, Lattimore and Jack Rabbit, they can freaking tackle. Now,
But you play cornerback to cover.
Right.
Thank you, Chuck B.
To cover, but the one thing is that I don't know if undisciplined or however you describe it, but they practice and they competing and there's no officials. You might say, oh, that was a great defensive play. But then in a game, they might call interference. Because you know how you scrapping and whether they pushing off and you're holding them and you're going back and forth. So I think that has definitely worked against us. So, I mean, going forward, Sean Payton might have officials at every practice to challenge our DBs. Now,
I don't think you can in the regular season.
No. Okay, you can't. Okay, so.
I don't think you can.
So, well, that makes sense. But I would challenge Chuck B when he said Sean Payton. In 2011, Chuck B, come on, you can't blame Sean Payton on that season. Think about this.
I understand that season.
In 2011, we were better than 2009 because that was our second chance to win a Super Bowl before the no call. But because that year we took the lead twice in the 5 minutes and Greg Williams and the defense couldn't stop him. You remember Malcolm Jenkins could not cover Vernon Davis? It was third and forever.
Not at all.
I mean, Scott Shanley, Roman Harper, all of them were involved in that. So that's not Sean Payton in the offense.
No, listen, no, that's not what I said. But what I said was you can count on a couple of games every season that Sean Payton is the reason why we lost.
I got you. As far as committed to the run or how you call a game and all, I agree with that.
Thank you. Yeah. So that's not on the players because his job is to make sure – you coach the team situationally to where you can win the game. It ain't about stats. It ain't about trying to get Drew his whatever or trying to be cute or show how genius. If you're a genius coaching offensively, be smart enough to know, just like Green Bay did. They saw something that we couldn't stop. So they kept feeding it to us. We never stopped it. They won the game.
Yeah, they won the game, and I'm going to bring it up again. To only have 12 yards rushing in the second half, considering that we ended up with 122 yards on 20 attempts. I mean, come on, we're averaging 6 yards a run. I mean, there's no reason. Now, you might say, well, limited amount of, snaps offensively, but Green Bay was in the same boat. They had 59 plays. We had 58, and they were only averaging 3.5 yards a run. And they had 26 rushing attempts to our 20. No, it just gets to the point sometimes that I'm just ecstatic, Chuck B, that Coach Payton gave Latavius Murray at least 12 carries instead of 4 or 6 carries, going forward. Because he was averaging 5 yards a run. And listen, those pass plays, we get Kamara involved. Again, he's the leading receiver, 14 targets, 13 receptions, 139 yards. We all know that long gain, one of the greatest plays in Saints history for 52 yards. That was unbelievable. And I understand that play calling because a short pass can be like a long handoff. But still, you got to still run the ball, handing it off, not necessarily a forward pass when all said and done. And I just go by, Chuck B, I know you watch football today, and I just look how the Patriots – beat the Raiders, and how we started that game. We were able to run the ball against the Raiders, and we had the lead. We got a little too cute instead of just worried about winning the game.
The other thing I want to add, Chuck B and Bobby, is, look, you know Aaron Rodgers is one of the best in the game at getting opposing teams to jump off sides. That's been a penchant of his for years now. And he gets that free play, and he chucks it down the field. You're at home. Now, and there's no fan, well, relatively no fans. 750, there might as well be zero.
There was no fans. Right. Because they would have went on silent count, and he couldn't use his cadence.
And you're DeMario Davis, the defensive captain. You just simply can't jump off sides. It's inexcusable. You cannot do it. Not in that situation.
Well, just a brain fart? Or, was he too intense?
I don't know, but I can't speak for him, but
no, because he's not a rookie. He's the team captain, one of our leaders. You have to know that scenario, because that's one thing I know we miss. Not hopefully with the Chargers, we might have more fans, but it's still not going to be like a true Monday night game when the Los Angeles Chargers come to town. It's not going to be that atmosphere.
Nope.
So you got to be disciplined. What was the game we got, the very first game, we got Tampa Bay to jump off sides.
Yeah.
Right?
And a no-brainer freeze.
Because you're not watching the football. So the bottom line is that when you look at home in the dome, without any fans, the opposing quarterback can utilize the snap count. They don't have to go in silent count because really there's no noise, realistically. How they practice, all these teams, you're not really influencing the opposing quarterback, and they can just have a normal offensive snap, how they call their cadence and all that. It ends up being a detriment to the opponent, like what happened to DeMario Davis and the Saints, even though you're playing in your own building.
Aaron Rodgers said after the game, it's a lot different environment than in 2008 and 14. Yeah. This place is rocking all the time. I think we all miss that in the sport, just the fan interaction, the energy of the crowd, but it definitely helps us in an environment like this. He would have never been able to do that had there been 72,000 fans in the Superdome.
No, yeah. No, he would have did is like you raise your knee up. Mm-hmm. You raise your knee, you do something with your hand to single, you want to snap. Then the center is calling the snap count along the offensive line as loud as he can, and then he snaps it. But the quarterback's not in control.
Chuck B., thanks for the phone call. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification here on the Community Coffee, New Orleans Saints Radio Network. All right, we're not done. Point After continues here on the Community Coffee, New Orleans Saints Radio Network. 37-30, the Saints lose to the Green Bay Packers. Welcome into the Point After here on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. We'll get to Sheldon Rankins in a few moments, his Zoom call after the game. First, though, I want to get to Al on line two of our mortgage financial talk and text lines. Al, you're on the Point After on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network.
Well, Christian, thanks for taking the call. But I got some questions for Bobby.
Okay, go ahead. I'm here.
On, right?
I'm all here. Right, right. Yes, I'm here.
All right. So I've been a Saints fan. I mean, got to give props to the Australian guy, man. He's been watching the game like a day ahead at 3 o'clock in the day. But I was a Saints fan, man, since I was in the Dome. When remember, you were quarterback. The Atlanta Falcons won. No, Saints won 7-3. That was back in the day when it was like back in football. And, yeah, 14 years calling plays, being in the game. I was also in the 1992 stands when the Detroit – no, I'm sorry. The Eagles had 3 picks on you in the second half. I say all this.
I just say 3 picks. I know how to pick 6 that I know. I might have had maybe 2. I don't know if I had 3. You might be right.
It was 3.
But I remember I picked 6 considering had unbelievable first half, and then we didn't make adjustments, and it was like, damn, Reggie White and all. Then they coming and
– Yeah. So, they had a – So this is where I'm going with this.
Okay.
It's not a dig at y'all. It's not a dig at you.
No, you can dig me all you want. The truth,
man. Well, the facts are the facts, and those are the facts. And it was 3 picks. The joke was that you went in the locker room after the game, and somebody intercepted your bullet. But it was like, the truth is, man. Yeah, you did things, and then you went to Atlanta. But here's the thing. Unlike a guy like Drew Brees leaving his team long
term. Al, you said you got questions. Please ask the questions.
Okay. Here's the question. Do you think, as being a former quarterback in the NFL, do you think the lack of a deep ball threat, such as a Russell Wilson or a Rodgers, which they've proven to do game in, game out, even Tom Brady, do you think that Drew Brees not doing it, not that he can't do it, but just not doing it.
Well, you can't just throw the ball up to be throwing it up. So, no, I don't think that's a problem because I think Drew Brees is making the same reads he would have made in 2018 and 19 that he's making right now. So, I don't know. We had the most wins the last 3 seasons. We were 13-3 in 2018, 13-3. That's winning football. So to say he's not making the same decisions, I don't think that's the case. When he tells you that he read the coverage and he checked down, I think truly he read the coverage. I mean, because we've seen him.
What have you done for me lately? That's what you always say.
No, what have we done for me lately? Now he's not just going to force the ball and throw it up if he thinks it's going to get picked.
Better about that. He's gotten better about his decision-making.
With decision-making, they set a record last year. We only had 8 takeaways, NFL record. He was the player of the month in December. He was the player of the month, Al, in December of the whole NFC. 15 touchdowns, zero interceptions. He's making the same decisions now as he made in December of 2019.
So here's my question for you as a former quarterback. And the reason I brought up the Eagles is when you get pressured, like, and you don't pose a deep ball, does the secondary start to play more of a zone, tight coverage, and then you can't run the ball in the second half, as you outlined this game, and you can't run these short underneath throws that get all this extra.
Well, the Packers didn't do anything that they couldn't run the ball in the second half. They could have just, you just have to attempt to run the football. The Saints could have run the ball in the second half like they did in the first half. Is Coach Payton patient enough?
Why didn't they?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not calling the plays. I'm not calling the plays. I don't know. Now with Coach Pete, maybe call a different game plan than Sean Payton. Now Sean will tell you a lot of times there's little swing routes or whatever to getting or checking it down to Alvin Kamara. That's like a long handoff. That's like a running play. I don't think it's a running play. To me, that's still a pass play. I'm just glad he gave Latavius Murray 12 carries instead of 4 or 6. I think Latavius Murray, how he falls forward, I mean, if you look at it, what I've witnessed, that it just seems like given opportunity, even when Alvin Kamara was out twice last year, he had 153 yards total from scrimmage. Today, Kamara had 198. So when I look at Latavius Murray, averaging 5 yards a carry, so, I mean, you could justify him and having 12 carries, if not 20. So the bottom line is you have to commit to run the football. It doesn't matter. Fans are so intrigued with the ball going down the field. Yards after the catch. Look at those routes that the Packers burn us with when they're doing the bootleg.
It's high percentage stuff.
Was that Aaron Rodgers taking any chance? No, we did not cover it. So that would be more on Dennis Allen. That would be more on the whole defense, Eric Glenn, and what we're doing defensively, how we cannot cover that bootleg and the great fakes that they do, and then Aaron Boots. And it's not front side. It's the backside receiver dragging across, and nobody's on him. And that's at least, I don't know, 12, 15-yard gain. That happened a number of times. Even Sean said, I want to know the answer to that. So he's going to go up to Dennis Allen. He's going to go up to Aaron Glenn and all. Okay, how are we covering this? How are we getting fooled? Is the players not being disciplined enough to know their responsibility and they're getting fooled and they're getting faked out? Because that does happen in the emotions of a game where you're so aggressive and then all of a sudden, I got tricked. Oh, God, my man's way over here. And you get burnt. No, that's what happened on those Packer plays, that's unacceptable.
Al, thanks for the phone call. Jim in Louisiana, what's going on, Jim? You're on the Community Coffee New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. What I was looking at, I watch a line play because I used to be a line player in college. The line on both offensive and defensive, it looked like they got beat most of the time. And that was my concern.
I don't know if I would say that at all on the defensive line for the Saints. They stopped a pretty good rushing attack of the Packers that was averaging over 6 yards a carry. Now, offensively, they looked at times that they did get beat. In particular, Andrews Pete, before he got injured, he got beat inside on a big sack when the Saints were trying to push the ball down the field.
Okay. But it just looked like they were getting beat. And I was disappointed.
They did it sometimes, Bobby. Wouldn't you agree? On offense in particular?
Yeah, no, that was totally a mixed bag. As far as to say it depends on the play and the situation. Again, you have to attempt to run the ball, whether it's the Raiders or whether it's, tonight against the Packers. When you're averaging 6 yards a run, I mean, can you say you're truly getting whooped? Now, you might say, well, you cannot take out the long runs because it all counts because you were blocking as a unit, so that all counts. Now, defensively, Now the Packers look—they on a roll now, and they feel good about themselves. But compared to what the Packers did coming into our game, the Packers had the number one rushing attack, and against us, they averaged 3.8 yards a carry, so under 4 yards. So I think defensively, we got it done, considering they did attempt to run the ball 26 times.
Jim, thanks for the phone call. Coming back for Chris and Joey next here.
Hey, Christian, as we go to a break, now, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Do you think how the momentum changed? If Taysom Hill does not fumble that ball, considering where we have the ball, and we think we're going to get points, you think it's a different outcome? I think it's totally a different outcome.
They just stopped them on fourth down.
And the Saints win.
They just stopped them on fourth down. They were going
for
points.
It shows how the NFL is. When you got two teams.
One or two plays.
That are legit, and the momentum swings, it's like, man, we in good shape right now. We stopped them on fourth down. Looked at field position, the way Lutz is kicking. Hopefully we get a touchdown. You feel confident you're going to win. Then all of a sudden you have a turnover, and both these teams are known for protecting the football, and you minus one, then you can see the final score what occurs.
Coming back with Joey in Pearl River, Chris on the North Shore. This is The Point After on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. Right to our mortgage financial phone lines here on The Point After on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. Chris on the North Shore. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Look, I don't mean to belabor the point, you know, with Drew. Look, I mean, we all love Drew. We know what this guy has done for the Saints, and I'm not saying this guy is done, but I can honestly say that I think a couple of years ago when we played Dallas, in Dallas, I really think they exposed the fact that he could not throw the ball deep accurately like he used to. Obviously, like we all get older and we all
right.
get to a point where we're just not accurate. But I'll never forget that game in that they played close to the line of scrimmage. They had their linebackers up. They had their cornerbacks and safeties up. And I think that was a game we scored, 9 points or whatever. And ever since then, I think people have had the blueprint to, you know, stop. I don't want to say stop our offense altogether because we have
right.
a lot of weapons, obviously, you know. But I honestly think that, you know, I don't think teams respect his deep ball anymore. And I think they're cheating
us. Well,
affecting our game, you know.
Well, Chris, when you look at even and Drew's heyday, let's say when he was hitting Devery Henderson on deep balls and stretching the field, that was still timing. It wasn't like, boy, he scrambled and he threw the ball 70 yards down the field. It was all anticipation. So whether you force Drew Brees to take the underneath throws because you cannot fit those small windows, if you're playing a two-deep concept and you got to zip it in there, like Coach Payton would say, the turkey hole, when the corner, let's say they're playing a zone concept with the safety over the top and you got to zip it in there, I'm talking about 40 yards. I don't know if Drew can make that type throw because we've even witnessed when Ted Ginn Jr. came on board post Devery Henderson that Ted Ginn, even though he'd have the drops now and then, he could still get behind the defense and Drew would still hit him, but how he was waiting for the ball. And then it'd be a big gain, but it should have been a touchdown. So this is nothing new in 2020 that we haven't seen, to me, I think in 19, that we haven't seen in 18, we haven't seen in 17. But you know what's crazy about all that? Drew's still making decisions now that he made 3 years ago. You know who's the winningest team in the NFL the last 3 years? The New Orleans Saints. So isn't it winning football? Isn't it about just winning, whether you can do everything within the playbook, but how do you win? Whether Drew's managing the game or whatever it takes. Now, when you don't win, it gets magnified. Then when you win, then you look at, okay, he's doing what he has to do. The bottom line is why Drew Brees has been so successful since 2017. Two things. He's been so freaking accurate that it's unbelievable. And Drew Brees has to continue to be accurate, not at a 60% level, 70% level. And then if you look at not only being accurate, but Christian, never missing any short passes. Okay, for instance, today, you might say, well, did Drew Brees truly play winning football? I would say he did because he did not throw any interceptions. He had a higher quarterback rating than Aaron Rodgers. Drew Brees is at 128. Aaron Rodgers at 125. Oh, but Aaron threw those deep balls. You know, what about those deep balls? Well, why did Drew Brees throw for more yards? Now, you could say the yak hitting Alvin Kamara, but it all counts the same. Drew Brees was at 29 completions for 288. Aaron Rodgers had 21 for 283. He had three touchdowns, no picks. Drew Brees had three touchdowns, no picks. He had a quarterback rating of 125. Drew was at 128. But you know what? The game was that close. We were a minus one in the turnover margin. Think about when that occurred with Taysom and that fumble. Think we just stopped them on fourth down. We had all of the momentum. So I'm just telling you right now, when Drew makes a statement, when he's doing an interview, that I'm very confident. I'm playing at a high level. I mean, I'm almost feel like I'm on maybe on the border of greatness because he all of a sudden he might have a game that he has a perfect quarterback rating because he knows what it takes. So a lot of times, is this Chris again?
Yes.
I went off on a tangent. Chris, it's like you want to be able to stretch the defense. And they call them shot plays. And I just think, particularly the last two games against the Raiders and the Packers, we've had bad luck, whether it could be a breakdown in production, because Drew's not going to run around like Patton Mahomes and ad-lib. I'm talking about a play that is a diagram where you're going to move the defensive backs and you're going to get that shot play downfield and you're going to have long enough time because of the protection, or you might have the coverage that is trying to cheat because you can influence them with your eyes and get them to bite, and then you make that throw over the top, which is 45, 50 yards. I'm telling you, when people talk about throwing bombs, they think, oh, 60, 70 yards. No. I'm telling you, look back, Joe Montana, Steve Young, a lot of the greatest quarterbacks ever that were hitting on deep balls, it lands between 45 and 55 yards. Now, it might be. Listen, I threw the longest pass in Falcons history to Michael Haynes against the Saints. It was 98 yards. You know what? I threw it about 50, 52 yards, and then the rest of the way he took it to the house. So the point being, it's all about timing and how you influence the defenders to trick him. It's not like running around there and just throwing it. Drew right now is not, Chris, is not going to just throw the ball deep just to be throwing it. I'm telling you, now it'll be interesting to see where the Lions are at going forward. But I can tell you, the timing is not there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe one hitch step and throwing it. Drew Brees ain't running around hitting no damn deep pass. If Drew's doing any kind of scrambling, that's a dump off or he's throwing away. That's where age comes into play. Without a doubt, I agree with that 100%.
All right, looking ahead to the Lions, Bobby, are you concerned yet, or you think they rebound against the Lions?
If they don't rebound against the Lions, why in the hell we were saying Super Bowl or bust? Christian, we should go on a run right now. Now it is the NFL. At Detroit, October the 4th. Monday night, the Chargers are coming to town. October the 12th, Carolina at home after the bye, October 25th, then at Chicago, November the 1st. Doesn't matter. Be interesting to see. Now, I think the Bears are better off with Nick Foles than Trubisky in there. But if we Super Bowl or bust, Christian, that's not pie in the sky. We should win like four games in a row. If we don't, then what the hell, what harm are we tooting? You know, like what? What were we blowing? No, Christian, right now, I'm looking at this. If we truly Super Bowl or bust with all our veterans and the experience and dealing with the pandemic, I'm not surprised because I looked at going to Tampa Bay the next time we're going to play them. I thought 6-1 might be 5-2. We already got two losses. Then we should go in a row. We should be 5-2 going into that Tampa Bay game come November the 8th. And I take it one day at a time, Hebert. Well, I am, and it all starts in Detroit. If we lose to Detroit, I don't know, just trade the team away. I mean,
That's a wrap.
I'd be that discouraged.
That's a wrap for the point after on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network. Bobby, do you think, man?
All right, bonne nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who that?
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.